All right, episode 516 is brought to you by the Extreme Health Academy. This is something that we are building behind the scenes, and we are so excited about launching this brand new program and brand new community to you guys. We love you guys, and we wanted to offer this to you. It's going to be a monthly academy that you're going to be able to access super high-level courses on everything from liver health to bone health to high cholesterol to getting the best sleep to high blood pressure. We're going to be doing courses on every single organ and body system of the body, as well as health challenges that you guys have. We're going to have an awesome place for home treatments. We're going to dive deep into foods and herbs and how to apply these things to your life. We're going to be doing Q&A calls every month and get all of your health questions answered. We're going to have a great community in there. So if you're interested in diving deeper and really applying what we learn about here at Extreme Health Radio into your life in a very practical way, check out the Extreme Health Radio Academy. And we're also brought to you by our store. Our store is how we keep everything free. Some of the latest products we've added to our store are the Soul CBD oils, which are an amazing CBD, and the hemp plant is the most powerful plant on the planet. We also offer the Rapid Release Technology Pro that uses high vibrational therapy to reduce pain in the body. I used it to get over my debilitating back injury back in June of 2016. We also offer the EMF Defender pads for your laptops, the earthing bed sheets to ground your bed sheets, the Savvy Rest organic bedding, the Energy Muse jewelry, the Vitalizer Plus to structure your water, grounded sandals, non-toxic chemical-free cookware. We've got tons of stuff in our store. So the store is how we keep our show free. So thanks for visiting that and making all your purchases through our store to keep the show free. So make sure to visit our store the next time you want to go online and make a purchase of a health-related product. We probably carry it in our store. So thanks for listening, and let's get on with this episode. All right, Dr. John DeWitt, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, last time you were on a while back, we did a whole thing on vision.
I know.
Another one of your areas of expertise.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the vision kind of ties in with today's topic, because we're going to talk later about one of the main tests they do on the sidelines now in the NFL and college and high school even is a vision-based test, because the vision and brain health is very closely connected.
So if someone gets injured in the NFL, they'll do like a vision test?
Yep, they have an actual app, of course, on the iPad that you can have them run. We'll talk about it later, though. I'm not going to tell you.
No, well, don't give everything away.
I can't give it all away yet.
That's crazy. So we're going to be talking about concussions, and we've had a lot of people write in the show actually talking about concussions. And what I didn't realize, something that was so bizarre to me, was that even kids can get minor concussions, can't they, from like playing soccer and...
That you're skipping ahead, but I'll go ahead and let you know. I was shocked actually because I'm in the process of finishing a book called Head Games, Concussions and CTE, Where Do We Go From Here? Uh-huh. Just in case you were wondering what the name was.
Nice.
And in that research, I found out that 47% of age-related, sports-related concussions are kids that are 12 to 15 years old.
That's almost 50%.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane.
12 to 15?
12 to 15 years old. And it's because people, you think, okay, they're younger, so they have to be more resilient. But actually, they're... skull isn't fully formed. It's not really hard yet, and so it doesn't have the full protective qualities that it can. It's thinner, so it's not as protective, and all the musculature around the neck and thing isn't as developed either. So it's not as safe. So they have long term effects. There was actually a study done where this was in Australia, kids that had injuries had there were two prospective Australian studies that cognitive impairment with kids lasted for up to a decade after any kind of traumatic brain injury from sports. So
I wonder what kind of injuries they were sustaining for to get a decade's worth of injury out of it.
Well, I mean, anything, it can be a varying degrees of injury. I mean, 10 years later, maybe you can't spell as well as you used to, or your memory's not quite 100%.
And they would never equate it to that, would they?
No,
just like a minor head injury.
Yeah, they wouldn't think. They're like, oh, you know. And that's the thing, because it's the inertia, because mass at rest stays at rest, and a mass in motion tends to stay in motion. So even if you just barely are moving and just kind of bump your head on something, your skull stops really quickly, but then your brain kind of sloshes back and forth in there, and all the different neuronal connections in the base of the brain can stretch and tear, and you can have some hemorrhages in there.
And
it can really cause a cascade of effects that neurologically are an issue and metabolically are a problem too, because that's one of the things that I was really finding interesting in the book, is that okay, football, contact sports, we know that's going to, that it's causes obvious. Concussions. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's no use trying to say, oh no, it's perfectly safe. Yeah. No, it's not. It causes problems. You know, I've been there. And that's
well, you, for those that don't know, you played in the NFL, right?
Right. Yeah. I played, with the Houston Oilers that became the Tennessee Titans. Uh-huh. And, then I went on to play another 11 years after that in Scotland, in NFL Europe. I played, Canadian football up in Montreal.
How many years pro?
12.
12 years pro.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And it's funny too. Well, it's not funny, but just, kind of interesting because as I was doing the research for this book, it was kind of scary for me because it's, I need to get the information out there, but the fact that I'm so closely related to it, it kind of freaks me out because, so Dwight Clark just came out on the 20th, just like a few days ago, and said that he has been diagnosed with ALS. Now, for those of you who don't know who Dwight Clark is, he's the guy that made the catch, Joe Montana to Dwight Clark in the end zone. It's one of the biggest plays in NFL history.
Wasn't Jerry Rice?
No, it was Dwight Clark.
Really?
It was.
Wow.
I don't know. And he's 60 years old and just got diagnosed with ALS. And so I was reading an article about that, you know, as for research for the book. Mm-hmm. And they did a study for NFL players that played at least five seasons from 1959 to 1988. And there were 3,400 of them. And the average age was 57.
57.
They are three times more likely to have a neurologic issue and four times more likely to have, to specifically have either ALS or Alzheimer's.
More likely than the average
than the
person
average
their
person.
Age.
Right, because of all the repeated traumas to the brain.
So say that again. If four times more likely for...
To have Alzheimer's or ALS.
Okay.
And three times more likely to have any neurologic issue. You could have like MS and, you know, things like that.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah. So I'm reading it. I'm like, that's insane. Then I'm like, oh, crap.
That's
I'm one
me.
Of those guys. I'm like, wait a
12
minute.
Years.
Wait a minute.
I mean, the average time people play pro football is like, what, 6 years, 5 years?
No,
maybe?
I think the average career is like getting... one and a half seasons, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, because people just, especially nowadays with all the concussion stuff, there's a lot of players that are kind of saying, you know what, it's not worth it. I should do something else. But it's interesting because I was just talking to I had the family over for a barbecue yesterday, mm-hmm. and my niece plays volleyball. And I was talking to her mom, and she said, oh, you guys didn't get tested, like do a baseline in the off season for concussions? I was like, what are you talking about? No. And she's like, oh yeah, every off season now the kids, or as far as, you know, her daughter goes
volleyball
for volleyball. Yeah. They get together and they put them through this test to make sure they know what their cognitive ability is. Cause a concussion is not a physical issue. It's a cognitive, that's all based on cognitive processing.
And isn't it like a bruise of your brain?
It is, but they don't judge it on that. They don't test it on that. It's all based on your function.
Okay.
So it's not.
So they check there first and then they'll do scans.
Right. They don't say, oh, you know, you got this much bruising in the brain. No, they just want to see, do you know who you are, where you are? Well, that's how it used to be when I played football. It was like, do you know what day it is? You know where you are, who the president is, stuff like that.
How often were you checked in football?
Only if you ever got your bell rung, really.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. And well, that's the scary thing because I was telling her a story about when I was probably 30. Uh-huh. Was the first time I had a concussion, and over 41% of concussions aren't ever reported because the players don't want to risk either losing their position
or their contract.
Or their contract, yeah. Especially in the pros, people don't want to, you know, risk it, and they don't want to be known to be injury prone.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of...
That affects negotiations with contracts and all that.
Because if you're known to have concussion issues, it's like Troy Aikman. He, even though he documented several cases where he had concussions and couldn't play because he had concussions, now he says that was never an issue. I'm like, but it's documented that you've had those.
Wait a sec. He's retired now.
Yeah, he's retired now, but he's very closely associated with the NFL with all the commentating that he does. So he just doesn't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers. And that's fine. That's his prerogative. But I just think it's interesting that he is denying that was never an issue.
I wonder if he would if he didn't have any association with the NFL.
Ian, there's who knows.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly. They're all out to get us. But my first concussion was in practice, and it was right around the time I turned 30 years old, mm-hmm. and it was a one-on-one drill, and I just hit the guy in front of me just with the wrong alignment. So my face mask hit exactly lined up with his face mask. So it kind of jarred me.
Uh-huh.
And it was like we were saying with that inertia, it stopped really quickly. So my brain kind of must've sloshed around a little bit in there because I went cross-eyed, had double vision, couldn't see, which had happened before, but it was not usually, it just went right back. No problem.
Wow.
And, So I sit up straight and was kind of, hold on a second. And I was like shaking my head, and it wasn't, my vision wasn't coming back. And I kept shaking my head. I'm like, wait a minute. And I was kind of like shaking, like I had water in my ear, trying to get my eyes to go back. And eventually it came back. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Let's go. And just right back in. Nobody ever checked me.
Dude, that's a classic sort of response, right? Yeah. For anyone in sports.
Yep. Cause you just want to get back in there. And that was 17 years ago. And evidently, after talking to my niece's mom, it's totally different now because everybody's freaked out, which is good. I mean, you want to protect your kids. And so if they are doing the concussion protocols to make sure, you know, we need a baseline, I'll go ahead and actually tell you what that test is. It's really interesting.
So it's a test to find out if you have had a concussion or is
right,
it?
Right, exactly. So, well, there's two different tests. There's an oculomotor nerve test, which is what I was talking about, how it ties with vision.
Okay.
And so this isn't on the sidelines. This is actually in a doctor's office, and they show you a bunch of different images on a screen, kind of like a grid of different pictures in different areas.
Uh-huh.
And then they have you close your eyes and they rearrange the images, and then you open your eyes again and you have to say where the other pictures used to be and which ones got moved. And if they have some sort of concussed brain, they're not able to do that.
Wow.
And then another.
That seems hard to me just thinking of it.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Maybe I'm walking around constantly with a concussed brain.
Right. And then, this was in 2015, and it was featured in Neuroscience, October 30th, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that they did is they had you look at an image, and they told you there's going to be a stimulus off to the side, and we don't want you to look at that stimulus. And they were like, okay. So they're looking at pictures or whatever, and they'll have like a strobe light off to the side, and they can't keep themselves from looking over that, even though they were told not to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so people that don't have concussions are able to
just
minimize
ignore it because
that.
They were told because they are processing.
Wow.
So that is an in-office kind of thing. But the neatest test is called the King DeVic test, not the King DeWitt test.
King
That's me.
DeVic.
King DeVic.
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 Like Michael Vick.
DeVick. And okay. This was in 2011, and it is in association with the Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
So it's, you know, very official.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is they have this on their iPad. They have an app, and all the coaches listening or people that know coaches should get this.
Uh-huh.
It's an image. It's got four different sections, but you just pull up these cards on this app, and that would be at the kingdevictest.com in case you want that.
DeVick.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's a hyphen between King and DeVic.
Okay.
But it starts out, and you have them look at numbers, and there's lines connecting the numbers. It goes from left to right, and then diagonally back down to the next line, left to right, and all the way down. And so then you get a baseline. You time them to see how fast they can do that.
Reading
the numbers off.
Oh, reading the numbers off.
Reading the numbers off.
Okay.
Okay, and then the first test, that's just to get the baseline. The first test, the numbers are a little bit closer together. You still have the lines on there. The next test, there are no more lines connecting the numbers, and the numbers are a little bit closer together. And then the last test, the numbers are a lot closer together, and they still have to be able to go across one row at a time and read the numbers.
Do they have to go left to right? Or
yes.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about this one, when I have heard some different people talking about the results, sometimes the players rearrange the numbers. Sometimes they start saying words instead of the numbers, like they see like words and stuff.
Really?
So, and the processing time takes a lot longer. So that's...
Let me hold that up for the camera for people that are watching on YouTube. I don't know if they could see that.
Yeah, and you can download that image from a variety of different spots.
Okay, that's King DeVic test.
So. Yeah, and they have a really useful app that can, so you whip out your iPad, you're on the sideline, and you run these tests by somebody. So right there, they'll know in like 30 seconds if they've had a concussion or not.
But wouldn't that test be difficult for someone just coming off the field with their adrenaline going? They have to sort of all of a sudden concentrate.
I mean, it's one of those things that's
I guess
tough.
That's part of it, right?
Yeah, like, sorry.
I guess that's what it means.
See. Yeah, if you get your bell rung out there, they want to know if you're okay.
That's nuts, man.
And so I was really impressed with this one, and it was originally developed for reading speed for kids that were having reading problems. And so they developed this to help kids be able to read. Oh, and by the way, when they're tracking the first one on the baseline, they're not allowed to use their finger to trace the line.
Okay.
So they just have to do it all with their head. And the guys go way too slow when they're trying to do it.
So when someone does have a concussion, like what's the average for someone who doesn't have a concussion versus someone who does? Is it really different? Like, is it really...
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's different. And that's why you have to do a baseline before when you know... they're as healthy as they're going to be. In the offseason, you run that baseline test. So like, okay, they have that on file. And then you think something may have happened. You have them come in and run the test, or you do the test there on the sidelines. And if it's a lot slower, then you know that there's an issue.
How many people do you think in the NFL have at least one concussion?
Well, the CDC says that, that there are about 3.8 million every year.
In just in the NFL?
Just no, in general.
Everybody. Oh, in general.
Yeah, everybody. I feel like, honestly...
3.8 million?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
And if you get three or more concussions, you're 3 to 6 times more likely to have more concussions in the future because you have, you're in a sensitive state after you've had that inflammation caused by the concussion.
So let me just make sure I understand this correctly. So when someone has a concussion, like I'm thinking boxing or MMA or right. even football,
right.
someone has a concussion, and typically, from what I understand, the concussion is just always described as like a bruise of the brain.
Right.
But you're saying there's connective tissue that's connecting the brain to the skull.
Brain stem, to the spinal cord, and to, well, actually, so it's all kind of that floating, stuff. It's floating in a synovial fluid, but it has a membrane around it called the meninges. That's a really tough membrane that helps protect it.
Okay.
But it's all the sharp little things pointing up from the bottom of the skull that for muscle attachment and different things like that, that's what can really cause the damage to the brain.
So the brain can be bruised itself.
Right.
Plus that material can be broken or torn.
Right.
So is it possible for someone to have a concussion where they don't have a bruise of the brain, but they have damage to that area? Or is it always
it's always going to be the bruising caused by the inertia.
Okay.
But then the thing that I also realized in the research for this was that there's a whole metabolic aspect of this that I never realized, because when you have trauma, it's going to cause the, you know, the blood has to go to that area to help try to heal it, but that takes energy away from the rest of the body.
Okay, right.
And so then you're going to decrease your glycolysis. Uh-huh. And the glycolysis is when you break down glucose. And when you break down glucose, for people back in what's this, probably grade school?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, the whole Krebs cycle, aerobic respiration. Right, right. So if you have glucose, it breaks down, and it's going to form 2-pyruvate. It also forms 2, and that's what goes into the Krebs cycle to make 34 ATP via the electron transport chain, which happens in the mitochondria.
Okay.
Sorry to get all technical there.
No, I like that.
So that's 34 ATP for that, but then also when you have the glycolysis, that the glucose breaks down into 4 ATP. So total, you have 38 ATP, which is just basically energy.
It's okay.
What we need to move, to okay. function. So what happens is there's a really quick hyper metabolic process where all that speeds up to help heal the brain faster, because it's like being attacked, feels like it's being attacked, that fight or flight sympathetic dominant state.
Okay.
So there's a really big spike in that right after the injury, but then a few minutes after the injury, that starts to slow down. But here's the problem. The glucose has already been used up. The coenzymes and the proteins and things like that that you need to use to generate the ATP for energy, the substrate, as you were, that we need to use for that process is not available.
Well, like the substrate meaning like the other processes in the body?
Right. The other ingredients that we need to generate that Krebs cycle, because there's no more glycolysis happening, so there's no more pyruvate forming.
Okay.
That is what starts the whole cycle. And so then it's kind of like, what do we do? So then it switches to anaerobic respiration.
Which is not good,
is not good, because that's when lactic acid builds up and then you get systemic inflammation, and you've already got inflammation in the brain, so then that makes it even worse.
Okay, so when someone has a concussion, what are you saying? That it's robbing energy from other areas of the...
Right.
Or other areas of your body are actually using its energy to deal with the brain injury and not able to use it for its actual purposes?
Right, so that is... and that... That's not good. Because what happens is you normally are getting 34 to 38, you know, little packets of energy, so to speak, the ATP.
Okay.
But with anaerobic, you only get 2. So that's a huge deficit in energy available for the body.
So you're saying the brain is only getting the 2 that it's making.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So why does it stop using just after a certain amount of time? It just switches from aerobic to anaerobic?
Well, it has to switch to anaerobic because right after the injury, it had that hyper metabolic process to try to heal the brain
quickly.
So then it's like it jammed its foot on the gas pedal, burned all the gas, and now it's out of gas.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why a lot of times people say if you think somebody may have had a concussion, if they're really sleepy and you can't wake them up, then that's something you need to be worried about. Obviously, if you can't wake them up, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a real issue.
But
so how does this does this at all relate to like eating sugar? Because you're talking about
absolutely.
So someone who's had a concussion.
Right.
at any time in their life, do they have to be more concerned with sugar? Because I'm thinking, like, when you're talking about anaerobic,
right?
That's, I'm thinking cancer and all that kind of stuff too,
right? But anaerobic is never good. But we have a whole treatment protocol that we go into.
I'm just skipping the gun. I'm just jumping
you're
the
just
gun
jumping
here.
Jumping all over, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah. That's interesting.
One
though.
Of the main things we talk about. Well, glucose. We know that. Coconut oil is a really good second source of energy for the brain.
Okay, right.
Because it doesn't, it passes the blood-brain barrier. And so instead of glucose, it can burn the caprylic acid in the coconut oil, which is really helpful.
Because your brain, correct me if I'm wrong, is built, it's mainly fat, right? It itself is very fatty.
60% fat, 75% water.
But it can feed on sugar and fat, because a lot of people say the brain feeds on sugar.
Sugar and fat, right. So okay. Well, glucose is sugar, basically. Okay.
So is it better to feed it fat than sugar?
Well, ironic that you say that. Because right after...
I didn't even look at your notes.
I know. Crazy. Right after a concussion, actually, it's the best time to really up your intake of proteins and healthy fats, because your body... Because healthy fat, that's the easiest way for your body to generate energy.
Okay.
The fastest.
Okay.
And so you have to take that in, and that's going to help heal faster and get you back to that energy imbalance that you've got.
Right after the concussion.
Right after the concussion.
For how long, do you think?
That's just for the first few days.
A few days. Okay. Yeah. So less sugar, more fat.
Right. You want to cut out sugar altogether, because the sugar can actually, the process of creating like regular sugar into glucose is going to be interfered with. So you don't want to have to have like a complex sugar that you're trying to break down into a simple
right,
sugar, things like right. that. That's why you want to just bypass that whole process, do the coconut oil, the omega-3s, the healthy fats.
MCT.
Right. And the healthy, that's the medium chain triglycerides. Yeah. The MCT is really helpful.
So would that be better than coconut oil? I've heard a lot of things.
It is better, actually, because it's just already broken down. So you don't have to, like, it's easier for you to assimilate.
So what about... I mean, I just can't. That's so crazy. 3.8 million concussions per year.
Every year, yeah.
And then I wonder how many of those. There's probably a lot of concussions that don't even get reported, right?
Right. That's about 40. I think it's 40 to 41% don't get reported at all, because they don't want to. It's just the whole mentality, you know. It's
yeah.
just like, hey, you know, I'm a tough guy. I don't want to be hurt. And it was interesting too. I found out that 64% of concussions actually occur in women athletes. 64% more common
of all concussions.
Yep.
I'm thinking too, just kids on skateboards and kids you know,
surfboards
yeah.
smacked in the face.
So, and then also soccer players heading the ball.
That's
so crazy.
Well, the top sports that have concussions are
top sports.
Ice hockey is number one.
Okay. Really? Above football?
Well, there's a lot of fighting in hockey. Oh, and that puck's pretty hard, and you get hit you in the face. And the ice doesn't give very much either.
That's true. That makes sense.
It's ice hockey, football, wrestling, and cheerleading.
Wrestling and cheerleading.
And that's actually from Vanderbilt University, my alma mater.
Your alma mater.
I know.
So nothing about boxing or MMA?
Nothing about boxing. Well, this was 2011, so okay. I don't know.
I would think.
Would have been around, but not MMA. So
do you think there's... A direct correlation between, I'm sure most people would say yes, Muhammad Ali's demise in boxing.
I think so, yeah.
Concussions. I mean, he's got to think he's had so many head injuries.
So, well, yeah. And that was one of the most unfortunate things is how he was such a talkative, known for, you know, having be all poetic
his bravado
and things.
And
all that
words.
He said. And then towards the end, he couldn't even speak. So
isn't that crazy?
It's just really.
I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, we have some friends in Texas who listen to the show. I think they've been in to see Dr.
Yeah.
Bergman,
yeah.
Former MMA, Trey Telegman.
Yep.
And I think he's got some issues as well. He's working on it. But all these MMA guys, and even boxing might even be worse because there's no.
Right.
Mitigation of that. It's all just blows to the body or the head.
Well, yeah, and they call that, in the movie they said, well, that's encephalopathy pugilistica.
What movie?
Pugilistica. Concussion, the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And Dr. Malu was the guy that was in that movie, the one that, you know, talked about concussions and how bad it is, and there's no helmet that can, you know, keep it from happening.
Yeah.
He said that this is totally different because of the type of protein that forms in the brain itself because of the repeated concussions, because it's not just one time, it's multiple times, and it kind of tangles up the neurons, and it's called a tau protein, T-A-U protein, And that's what gets everything tangled up in there so that you start to short circuit and you're not functioning properly.
Uh-huh.
And sadly, the only way they can diagnose that currently is post-mortem. So they have to like dissect the brain after you've passed away to be able to tell if you've had it.
Wow.
And that's why like Junior Seau
shot
himself in the heart, in the chest, so that they could study his brain.
So what did they find out from him?
Yeah, they say that he did have it. They confirmed that he did have it. And it's just, it's really unfortunate because we have these guys that go out there and they're like the best of the best, like the best human specimens we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And we just have them go out like gladiators and beat themselves up. And, mm-hmm. and then after we can't get the entertainment factor out of them anymore, then we forget about them. We're like, yeah. okay, you're hurt. I don't want to be reminded that I'm mortal. So yeah. get out of here. I want to see somebody else.
And don't complain.
The next young guy. Yeah. And rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right. And that's just, being a player, it's really hard because you're so used to identifying with, you know, being the biggest and strongest and things like that. And then when you are vulnerable and you can't like fake it that you're not, it's a huge
revelation
because you're just like, I'm used to people screaming for me and all this and smashing my head on stuff. And now it's like, I don't know what to do. And I can't put down, you know, for the people that didn't make enough money or save any money, they're like, I don't know what to do on my resume. Say I played football. And they're like, okay, that's nice. But do you have any skills? They're like, I can hit a guy really hard.
What else? Like, no. How can you help our company?
And that's the thing though. That was one of the main things. The reason that I'm writing this book is because I was like, okay, I'm not going after football or contact sports saying, you know, you need to stop all this. I mean, that's not realistic. It just is what it is.
Yeah, it's a huge business.
I want to figure out ways to optimize nutrition so that you'll have the healthiest brain possible so that if and when you do have any kind of trauma to the brain, it's going to bounce back a lot faster or it might even resist the concussion altogether.
I see.
There are a lot of nutritional things you can do. But a couple of other things that I thought were interesting before I get into that were... when you think about concussion, a lot of people are just like, oh, if you get knocked out, you've had a concussion. Well, only 10% of concussions are actually involve loss of consciousness.
Really?
90% of them, you don't lose consciousness. So that's when you get people that are walking around trying to go to the wrong huddle or the wrong sideline, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I had a guy I played with in Houston, Craig Vesey, that he was hilarious. He said, he was in a game once and he got his bell rung, so to speak. The trainer came over and held up, three fingers and said, how many fingers am I holding? And he said, Tuesday. And the guy was like, okay, you're done. You're done for the day.
You're out.
You're out for a little bit.
So I got a quick question. This is kind of off topic a little bit, but I'm just curious your personal thoughts about this. There's a lot of debate going on in MMA right now about whether or not they should use, like a lot of people are saying, you know, they should get rid of the 4-ounce gloves altogether. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because, you know, fighters will break their hands first because they can't throw that kind of a punch so hard unless they have those gloves.
Right.
And so the person receiving the punch is going to, if the person didn't have gloves on, they wouldn't be able to hit as hard. And so that would affect the person receiving the punch and maybe they wouldn't get, there'd be less injury to the brain. And so they're actually thinking about going backwards in terms of equipment and gloves. And I've heard people say that about football too. If you got rid of the helmets, which sounds like a crazy idea.
Right.
If you got rid of them, then people would know.
Well, people aren't going to go trying to smash their face into you because they would break their nose.
Yeah. So what do you think about those things?
Like, I actually have not heard that, but major changes like that, especially with the NFL, I don't think that things like that are
that would never
realistic.
Happen.
I mean, they're a little behind. They want to keep it all crazy and it's sad because for the defense, they've changed the rules so much. Everything's just for the offense. And if you barely touch the quarterback, they're like, oh, he's trying to hurt him. I'm like, okay.
Do quarterbacks get a lot of concussions?
Yeah.
I would think from falling back, maybe.
Yeah, most of the time, it might not be the direct hit with the person, but it's when they hit their head on the turf like that.
Yeah.
And they're not known for being the most physical. I mean, not except for Cam Newton. And ironically, he's kind of been targeted, it seems like, for concussions last season. He had a lot of helmet to helmet contact.
So a lot of these concussions, even within football, are not resulting in the loss of consciousness.
Yeah, the majority of them aren't.
So they're just kind of getting their bell rung like you did, and then
they just kind of are like, no, I'm all right. But because of all the hoopla with with the movie and, you know, the public awareness of everything, which is good. They're like, oh, well, we need to sit him out and make sure we do the concussion protocols. And you'll always notice that the announcers are always like, oh, well, he's got to go through the concussion protocol right now. And he's doing all the,
what are the different protocols? Do they have, is it
well, it's,
worthwhile what they're offering?
I hope, I don't know if they're using the King DeVic test or not, since I haven't played in a while. They didn't do anything like that when I was around. Basically, it was just like, look at my finger and move your, do the cardinal fields of gaze and that kind of stuff. And that was about it. But
what about if they know, like if they know someone's had a concussion, like let's say a serious one.
Yeah.
What do they do? Well, typically
at this point, if you've had a concussion, if it's your first concussion and say you didn't really, you just kind of hit and you're a little fuzzy, not too bad, they'll set you out for about 15 minutes, put you back in the game.
They'll put you back in the game, the same game?
Yeah, they'll put you back in.
Oh, my God.
But if you've had multiple concussions and you have another, you know, little one, then you're going to be out for a week. And you can't come back until the doctor says it's okay.
So it's just basically a rest, an extended rest. Yeah. But they're not doing anything, are they?
Well, there's nothing they can do. I mean, they can't, I mean...
Well, I mean, you're talking about things people can do, but but in their world, there's nothing they can do other than give you rest.
Right. Because, I mean, drink some water.
You know what I mean? Get some sleep.
Get some sleep. You know, watch out. Not too much sleep, though.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary, too, because some of the research, and that's the frustrating thing, is because research kind of contradicts each other, because used to be, you know, when I was a kid, if you thought your kid had a concussion, you know, you got to look at the eyes to make sure their pupils aren't dilated, one's not dilated, and, you know, that's obvious.
Right.
But they didn't want you to let them sleep too much, so you were waking them up every hour to make sure that you were able to wake them up. But interrupting their sleep patterns, they found now, can actually slow down the healing process.
That makes sense.
So it's, you know, it's like, hey, don't keep bugging him. If he's sleeping okay, just make sure he's breathing and or she is breathing all right, and just let him go about their business. So it's just things are a little different. But if it's more serious, if you actually lost consciousness, then you're out for at least a month. If it's your first one, 6 months. If it's your second or third or fourth,
6 months.
Yeah. And, but see, that's the thing. When you're talking NFL and you've got these multi-million-dollar players, you know, this is from the Colorado
I mean, you're losing so much money.
Yeah, the Colorado Medical Society guidelines. That's what they, that's where I'm getting this information.
I mean, that's millions of dollars of revenue that's lost.
Yeah.
If, I mean, you know, star players are out.
Right. It's just not the same. And people, it's just, you know, it's.
What a crazy
thing. It's unfortunate, because football, it's a sport, but it's also entertainment. And you're kind of, it's funny, because I played arena football in Las Vegas and injured my, I hurt my ankle. And the team tried to say that we didn't have workers' comp in Vegas because we were entertainers, we weren't athletes.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
I
mean,
that ended up not holding up, but I just thought it was funny that they thought they were going to... I was like, well, what are you talking about? And they were like, yeah, you're just like a dancer in a Vegas casino. I'm like, what? No, that's not true at all.
That's crazy.
But yeah, the good thing is, like we talked about, you had the oculomotor nerve test. That was in 2015. I'm just kind of going back to my notes a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
And that's for, if you're in the doctor's office, you can do that. It's very accurate, very good. And that helps to determine any lingering concussion symptoms. So if it's been like a month or two, you want to see how you're doing.
Okay.
But if you're on the sidelines, that's going to be the King DeVic test that we showed pictures of earlier. And another aspect of it is, when you hit your head, you've got 22 bones of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the sutures of the skull, and that's how the little pieces fit together. And it was thought back in 1867, they said, oh, okay, well, once it fuses, and the fontanelles were the soft spots for kids, when that's all fused, when you're older, then it doesn't move at all. Well, they did another study in 1960 that actually realized that there actually is some movement along those sutures. It's about 1/100 of an inch space between the bones of the skull. And they have little finger-like projections that fit together, kind of like the sections of a bridge, so it can expand and contract, which makes sense. It makes it a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And so it has its own blood supply, nerve supply, connective tissue. And so what you can do is, whenever you have a trauma to the skull, it can shift those plates. And sometimes they slide up and over each other. Sometimes they can jam up against each other.
Uh-huh.
And so in our office, you can actually feel when that happens, and we can readjust those plates of the skull to realign them to make sure you have the proper alignment.
Yeah, you've done that on me.
Right. And that gets you more circulation to the brain. That's going to help the body to heal faster, because you're actually getting more circulation. Because they have shown that after a concussion, you can have up to a 25% loss in blood flow, because everything's been shifted around and it can't get to where it needs to get.
So there's 22 different
bones of the face,
bones of the, skull,
yeah.
Just the skull.
Just the skull.
Okay, so when someone gets a hit, either boxing, MMA, or football, or hockey, someone gets hit. That's got to affect. I mean, you're talking a hundredth of an inch, so that's got to affect all the points where those different 22 pieces meet.
Oh yeah,
right. So the whole skull becomes
it's like out a puzzle. It gets all shifted around, and I mean, it's so much so that even if you don't get hit, even if people come in that have sinus problems, the pressure of the sinuses can cause the bones to shift.
So what is that? So when the bones of the skull shift on someone who has a concussion, what's happening? They're losing
circulation to that particular area of the brain wherever the shift has occurred. And you have the frontal bone in the front, and that all controls who you are is in the front, like your personality. And the back is the major functional, the main part that keeps you alive, the breathing and the cerebellum is where
the front part controls your personality.
All your personality is in the front.
Yeah. No way. Yeah. Of the brain or of the skull?
Of the brain. And that's same. Skull's right there and the brain's right behind it.
So hopefully. Yeah. Most people. So that's interesting. Okay. So when someone has a concussion, So you can actually manipulate the brains of the bones of the skull.
Yeah.
And that will help bring more circulation. So that's sort of like the first step, right, of helping somebody.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that we go into. Here we have a 5-week protocol that we got from Dr. Turner that Dr. Bergman learned about up in Canada, the cranial adjusting Turner style.
Interesting.
And the protocol for concussions there is in the first week, you start correcting the cranial bones and the spinal misalignments. So obviously, the neck's going to be thrown out as well.
Yeah.
You got to cut out the processed sugar first week, like we talked about, any processed foods, of course. Eat more greens because of the antioxidant effect, because you have a lot of free radicals roaming around when you have all this stress and trauma. Mm-hmm. And so you got to have the antioxidants. And there's different things. We'll talk about that in a minute. You have to drink 2 to 3 liters of water a day, and then that continues. You start to incorporate more omega-3s, like we mentioned, to help with the healing and the source of energy for the brain.
Can you do those omega-3s at the beginning, or do you have to wait?
You can do it from the beginning, too. Okay. Light activity, like a rebounder, like we were talking about earlier, talking about a vibration plate at the office that we have now to help increase lymph flow. Mm-hmm. The rebounder is going to help make sure everything's flowing the way it's supposed to. You can incorporate dark chocolate, red grapes. Resveratrol is a really strong antioxidant that's really good. You can even have, if you're of age, you can have red wine.
Okay.
Argentinian red wine, Cabernet, actually has the highest amount of antioxidants.
Look at that. Just what is it again? Argentinian?
From Argentina. Uh-huh. The Cabernets from Argentina have the highest.
Wow.
Avocados because of the good fats, apples, things like that. Coconut oil, obviously, you can incorporate that because MCT oil, the medium chain triglycerides, for the second source of energy for the brain.
But people want to avoid fats that are bad, right? Like maybe cook like canola oil.
Yeah, and you don't want any fried foods, obviously. Just be smart. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And you start to incorporate B complex and zinc. Zinc, I did some research on that. It really helps a lot with healing in the immune system.
So this is the Turner protocol.
Yep. For kids, if you have a kid that's got some potential issues with a concussion, you can give them up to 20 milligrams of zinc. It kind of depends. Sometimes it makes them a little nauseous. So it's 10 to 20 milligrams for kids, up to 40 milligrams for adults. And then in the fifth week, you can, start using that oculomotor nerve testing with the images, or you can just use the DeVic test to see if they've made progress. And the thing that I like is the neuroplasticity that people have talked about recently. It's kind of a popular thing now. It's like you can reconnect your brain and things like that. And they're herbs out there called nootropic herbs that are real popular now. It's like, you know, it's the limitless pill that lets you to be the smartest person on the planet, that kind of stuff. And there actually are some herbs out there that have that similar effect. And I mean, so to speak. And I am excited because some of the different things that I noticed, let me go through here, that are really important. The best one so far, the nootropic herb, is Bacopa monnieri.
I've heard about that, Bacopa.
Bacopa, yeah. And Dr. Axe talks about that, too.
Yeah.
It's a really good treatment for ADHD.
Really?
Yeah. And it really helps a lot because it helps with choline and dopamine production, helps increase circulation. Folic acid is really good. It provides neurologic support. The B vitamins, B12 is excellent, helps maintain the health of the nerve cells.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. B12.
Yeah. L-glutamine is one of my favorites because this is one of the things I used to love after working out because, it really helps you recover faster.
Right, right.
And there's 10 to 15 times more L-glutamine in the brain and spinal fluid than there is in the blood. So it helps with focus, alertness, memory, and intellectual performance.
It's also great for digestion too, isn't it? To help seal the gut and all that.
It's an all around really good little amino acid. Taurine is really good for the nervous system. It helps with the function and actually they're looking into that as a treatment for Alzheimer's. Taurine.
Interesting.
Caffeine. I know everybody likes to kind of badmouth caffeine, but it actually does give you a good mental boost for about 45 minutes, according to an Austrian study.
Well, it sounds like it would make sense because it's high in antioxidants too.
Yep.
Which is what you were just talking about.
And it increases circulation, things like that.
Yeah.
DMAE bitartrate was another one that's really good for memory, learning, focus, and brain health, because that is directly linked to the synthesis of acetylcholine, which leads to choline, which is important for that whole aerobic respiration whole process. Ginkgo biloba, we've always known, is really good for circulation and helps with memory.
Yeah.
And things like that. And also acetyl L-carnitine is used to treat a number of disorders such as Alzheimer's, things like that. But no the way. Reason that I had all those is because I have a new supplement coming out. I don't know when this show's going to air, but it'll be out pretty soon. It's called Brain Aid, kind of like Band-Aid.
Okay.
Brain-Aid. And it's going to have all those ingredients. Because like I said, you know, I'm not here to bash football or any contact sports. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to figure out what can we do moving forward to help minimize the effects of all that kind of stuff ultimately going to happen. I have that in the hopper, so to speak. I'm going to have a series of webinars discussing the latest research on concussions and things like that. That's going to be at concussionvideo.com.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And I also am working on an additional supplement called Brain Shield, and that's going to be loaded with the healthy omega-3 fatty acids that helps heal the brain.
That's awesome. So if someone, if they had just had a concussion, like would you recommend that someone doesn't do brain stimulating activities like figuring things out or using mental stimuli? Or is that a good thing, do you think?
In moderation, it's good because they used to say, you know, just go in a dark room, lay down, don't, you know, sleep as much as you can, don't do too much.
Right.
Or just do light exercise. And they're kind of thinking now, it's kind of like the study they did with the rabbit. They had a rabbit that it had a broken leg and then they healed it. And they had one that it like immobilized it and wouldn't let it move forever. And then the other one, they forced it to kind of move around a little more. And the one that was able to move healed a lot faster. Mm. So with the brain, it's a similar type thing. You want to stay active and have some easy, maybe some tic-tac-toe or things like that to keep your brain.
Chess or something.
Chess, maybe some crossword puzzles, things like that. Nothing too crazy hard. Yeah. But just stuff like that or let them draw. If they're kids, like let them draw with crayons and stuff like that.
I wonder if like using the opposite side of the body would be interesting too during that time. You know, like using your left hand.
Mechanism. Yeah, because that simulates both hemispheres of the brain. So it's kind of like if you had a broken right arm and you start using your left arm more, that's going to help heal the right arm faster.
So
that makes a lot of sense if you try to do stuff with the other side.
Have you heard about that what is that app? It's not maybe an app, I forget, or a website, Luminosity. Have you heard about that?
Luminosity, yeah, with the different
is that any good
exercises? I mean, it's a lot of brain games, yeah, to help keep you healthy, keep your brain sharp.
I think
it's good.
Yeah, you know, keep your brain sharp. There's also that supplement. Are you familiar with I forget the nootropic from Onnit. Onnit has a nootropic.
There's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, but I guess it would be beneficial to just throw everything at it, right? Just take everything you can.
You might as well take everything. And that's the thing. You should take it before, you know, in the off season to make sure your brain's as healthy as possible so that after the fact, you're not going to be as... It's kind of... Because with the omega-3s, it helps to actually strengthen the cell membranes.
Okay.
And so basically, that's like giving you a super strong cell membrane that if it gets impacted, it's not going to be affected as much.
So obviously we can't make claims here, but if someone's had really, really traumatic brain injuries, and they're not quite old enough yet to have that turn into Alzheimer's or something like that, like maybe they're 40, 50, What do you, if they start taking care of their brain, like right. in the way that you're talking about, and I would imagine that that would be a you know, something that you would do for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. you can't just have concussions and just take 2 weeks and then
right.
go back to your old life and old diet and all that. But if someone does have significant injury, do you think it's possible that they could prevent some of these diseases?
Absolutely.
Or, yeah.
They can either prevent or they can just lessen the effect. So it might not be as bad as it could have been. My wife's friend, Steve Smith, was a running back for the Raiders for years back in the 80s. And he's had ALS now for 13 years and he can only move his eyes. It's the only thing he can move now.
Oh my gosh. How old is he?
He's, well, if he's playing, he's probably close to, he's getting close to
70?
60, I think.
60?
Yeah. But I mean, it's just crazy because it's the guys, it's like that study I was just talking about earlier. Okay, so it's good now that we're more aware of concussions and the trauma that and the long-term effects they can have, and that's why we're doing the testing and the baselines and the off-season for the kids and things, which is really important
right.
and for the NFL. But it's the guys that were in that study that played from 1959 to 1988. I mean, they were just like broken bones and stuff, just strap, tape it up and get out there.
That's
and
crazy.
They were just warriors. And so those are some of the guys that I'm really wanting to help get past the fact, like, yeah, okay, you've kind of already done the damage. What can we do nutritionally wise to help heal that brain as fast as possible?
Right.
And these different nootropic drugs are, they're not drugs, they're herbs.
Supplements yeah.
and the omega-3s, dietary changes. You know, a lot of those guys self-medicate and don't even realize, like in the movie, there was a guy that, I mean, he was just drinking all the time because they just can't handle all the pain that they're in. And I mean, he was like pulling his teeth out and putting them back in with super glue and like tasering himself just so he could sleep. And I mean, it
my
was
God, that's
crazy stuff, but it's the same mentality that he had when he was playing.
Yeah. It's just
and
that.
So it's like, you just do what you got to do to sleep or whatever. And
that's nuts.
And it's just nuts. And it's not fair that there's so many guys out there that have played for so long that feel kind of lost. And you know, the league is out there saying, yeah, this is great. You know, we're going to figure out, you know, concussions, and I'm sure they're doing a lot of stuff. And they're trying to make the game safer, but they're really, you can only make the game so safe. I mean, it's not a pillow fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
yeah.
there's going to be injuries and just by design. And so that's why I was trying to take a kind of a different approach. And it's ironic too, because Dr. Malu, he's actually doing the same thing, except he's going the pharmaceutical route, and he is partnered up with, or he's in the process of partnering up with a pharmaceutical company to find a pill that can help do basically the same stuff that I'm trying to go for here with this supplement.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, I'm not a big fan of pharmaceuticals. So hopefully we'll, be able to short circuit that and not let that happen. But
yeah.
I mean, if it works, great. But you know, as long as it's safe, that's the
yeah. I would imagine that a lot of people. Well, it depends too, because a lot of like that football player sort of mentality is sort of like, I'll take whatever I need to take. Like
right.
you said, the guy tasering himself.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you know, people would be willing to do the pharmaceuticals, but for people like you and I,
right.
you know, we're looking at long term effects of these pharmaceutical drugs and chemicals and things.
Right.
Gosh, that's crazy. How many concussions do you think you had?
I know for sure. I never had a concussion where I actually went to the sidelines and said I had a concussion doing, because there was no evaluation really or anything
yeah,
back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that one in practice where I just kind of stood there for a minute and then got in like 2 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
I had one in a game, and this all happened after, and I think it definitely has something to do with age, because I was already 30 at the time. I was in a game and I was going to run over this guy on a kickoff, thinking I was going to juke one way and then just run over him.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know, I'm looking up at the lights going, what happened?
So he just slammed.
I don't know what happened, because I literally just opened my eyes and I'm looking up at the lights going, wait a minute. What happened?
Oh my
and
gosh.
And he just totally flattened me out. I'm like, all right, I'm a little too old for this now, I guess. But I mean, same type mentality. I was playing with the Oilers and ran down on a special teams kick, and it wasn't a concussion, but I like reached down to brace myself because I was trying to run around a guy or something. And when I braced my hand, my finger dislocated and was going like straight across. And so I jumped up and I'm running down the field and I feel something funny in my hand. I'm like, what's going on? And I look down at my hand and it freaked me out so much because it was literally at a right angle.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed it and straightened it out.
My finger,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so I went on to the sidelines and I was like, yeah, something happened. And it's so funny how you'll do, if it's a joint, like a ankle or a knee or something like that, you tell the trainer, but if it's your brain, you don't say anything because
right.
you don't want to, you know, act like anything, you're being a crybaby. But I,
That's so
it
crazy.
I showed the trainer and he was like, well, what did you do? And I went and I barely pushed it and it snapped back over, dislocated again. He's like, oh, and he's like, don't do that again. Oh, I'm like, all right. But yeah, so for the rest of my career, I had to tape that finger to the other one. But yeah, it's totally different. I mean, we worry more about fingers than we do about brains.
That's crazy.
Because we can see a finger and not can't see the brain.
So do you know what they found in Junior Seau's brain? You said they did find evidence of concussions.
The chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Yeah, it's the tau proteins in there. That's just a tangled up mess of...
Was his particularly bad, do you think?
I think any amount is bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean
his was bad enough to obviously cause him to want to commit suicide.
Right. And it's sad, too, because it's a combination of things because... I played for Coach Fisher when I was in Houston, and he used to back up or was on the same team as Walter Payton. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was around when Walter Payton retired, and he was suicidal because you're so used to being around all these thousands of people that adore you and are cheering for
asking you
and
questions, all that stuff and think you're just awesome.
And then all of a sudden you felt like you're just kind of shuffled out the door and
yeah.
And he was so used to that adrenaline rush. And I mean, that's pretty depressing. And
yeah.
I mean, it's great to have, but I mean, that added to the fact that all of a sudden you don't think you're thinking straight. I mean, it's
wow.
It's pretty easy to see how people could get a little depressed.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what other modalities or treatments have you looked into in your research that is there anything that you would reveal in your webinar or other factors that could help people? Because obviously chiropractic would help, right?
Chiropractic obviously is going to help because you want to have the nervous system free of any pressure,
right?
That's keeping any of the organs from functioning properly or the joints or anything else.
Are there any other kind of?
It's going to be an ongoing thing. I plan on doing as many as possible. They're not going to be super long webinars. It's probably going to be like 15-30 minutes max.
Okay.
And it's just going to be go to like I said, the concussionvideo.com or concussionvideo.com, no the at the beginning.
Okay,
but and I'll just update them constantly. And, you know, I might turn it into like a membership site so you can have each individual, you know, webinar you want to watch or however you want to do it. I don't know. But it's going to be fun. I'm going to try to get some of my friends that are still playing or are involved with some of the NFL teams. Some of my friends are like GMs of teams, which is kind of ironic.
Wow.
And some have kids that are playing now. And
wow.
So, yeah. And some of the guys I played with are coaches of other teams. It's just nuts. But yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to try to keep it as updated as possible and see what the latest treatments are.
There's got to be a way for... I mean, I think there's got to be a way, no matter how many concussions someone's had. I mean, the body wants to heal.
Right.
That's the default state of the body. And it can. It just needs the right tools, needs the right energy, right nutrition, right mindset, all this stuff. Right. So I'm sure there's going to be things that you're going to run across that you're going to add.
Right. And I'm going to have guests on there that are involved, you know, with it that know exactly. I'm going to try to have Dr. Malu on there, but you know, he's a little hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. Where's he based out of?
I think he's down. I don't even know.
Is he local? Like in California?
No. Well, I know in the movie he was living in, Palo Alto, I think.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. So yeah, I'll try to track him down. There's other schools that have the largest number of brains, CTE brains. I think that's in, I want to say Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting because it's such a touchy subject that people are worried about what are you trying to do? Why do you want to know about this? And it's just like,
well, wait, you mean if you contact them?
Yeah. They're like, oh, you know, we're so busy doing this, you know, there's all this research. You can go ahead and look at it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking at that, but I was wanting to like talk to you about what you thought about this. And they're like, we don't have time. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So I don't know, but that, and that's the tricky part too, is talking about how, you know, when you have all those twisted up tau proteins kind of tangled and kind of like rust all sticky in the brain.
Uh-huh.
The way the body heals itself is through the central nervous system, and the brain is like the mothership for that. And so if it's the mothership that's kind of got all the tangled up stuff going on, so it's right. Kind of like it, that's the trickiest part. And that's why I think it's such a complicated issue, because you have to find ways to heal the brain so that the brain can help heal the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of tricky.
That's crazy, man. I just think about all these people that are involved in sports, and it's so fun to watch, you know, see all these sports and they, you know, but they don't know what they're doing to their bodies. Mm-mm. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're a kid, you figure you're indestructible. And there was another study. Yeah. This was crazy. There's another study that said, they asked a bunch of high school kids. They said, if we could give you a pill that would make sure that you won every competition you were ever in sports wise, but you would die when you were 40, would you take it? And it was over 50% of them said, yeah.
No way.
Because they figure 40 is ancient when you're 40. A kid. And it's just, I was like, wow, that mentality is not good.
No, that's not good. That's no. Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So when are your webinars?
They're going to be, I'm going to set it up. I don't even know yet.
Okay. So
just go to concussionvideo.com and it'll have all the information about when the next one is. It might be set up to where it plays, you know, every top of the hour or whatever I can do to get the most information out there as quickly as possible. So I'm early stages. I'm finishing my book. I'm going to do the webinars. I've got the supplement stuff. I'm finishing that up too. So it's going to be, it might be probably May, June. May.
Okay. Yeah. And then also last time we were on, we did a whole thing on the vision and eyes and stuff. And so is that relaxtheclarity.com?
Yep. Relaxtheclarity.com. There's a 2.5 hour webinar that's free. Just go check that out and gives you everything I found over the last 6 years on vision and how to heal my vision naturally. Mm-hmm. I wore glasses since I was in the 8th grade. So that was kind of a fun little project. And,
that's cool. You did it on yourself.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
And my goal is to have 1,000, help 1,000 people get clear vision naturally.
Nice.
And I'm at about 97, I think, or 98, something like that.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay. Relaxtheclarity.com and concussion videos, plural?
Nope. Concussionvideo.com.
.com. Awesome. All right. Thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Awesome.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.